Last weekend, my family was in town to celebrate Thanksgiving and my birthday. We were kind of going over what we were going to do to celebrate my birthday, and my youngest nephew goes, "Oh, Aunt Molly, I think you really want to go see Moana 2, right?" I think he wanted to go, but that's okay. We went. And it was pretty good. And I was actually thinking about it a lot this week as I was reading the text from Ruth. Because in Moana 2, there's this need for survival. You see, Moana, she is a wayfinder. She looks for islands. She looks for people in the Pacific where they live on this island. And they can't find anybody. They can't find any people. And you learn that it's because this god cursed the people, because the god thought, "I can be stronger if you are isolated." And so Moana looks for this island that will eventually bring everyone back together, that will help her community thrive, because a small island with a small group of people isn't going to make it for forever. And so she looks for them. The main focus of the film is her journey to this island to help the community of her own island not be alone, to have other people, to survive, to thrive, and not be isolated. And as I was reading through our Advent devotional texts, not being alone was a huge theme. In the reflection on the text, loneliness was a main focal point. And the author pointed out different studies on loneliness. They called it an epidemic in our country. They even said that the feelings of loneliness can have similar long-term health effects to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Yikes. And after I read all that, I was kind of bummed. It was kind of sad. But I think that whenever you have that kind of a reaction, that something kind of hits you, it's normally because you need to listen up and pay attention. And as I was thinking about it, I know that we have probably all felt that type of loneliness from time to time. That kind of loneliness where maybe, like, in your heart, you know you need to be reaching out to other people, but in your head there are these voices that tell you, "Oh no, everyone else is so busy. Don't bother them." Or they don't really want to hang out with you. Or maybe even the worst voice of all that says, "You're fine on your own. You'll be fine. Don't worry." We've all experienced those voices from time to time. And that kind of depressing, abysmal feeling of loneliness. Now, for Moana, the matter of finding other communities is a means of survival. And Ruth and Naomi in our reading for today, they're also kind of bound together in need of survival as well, because they've lost this means in their patriarchal society. They've lost their husbands, their sons, the people who would provide for them. They're now widows alone, and there's a famine in the land as well. So they have no means of a living or work, and they're in a really desperate situation. Now, while Ruth has the possibility to go to her home to possibly remarry, Naomi is without that privilege. And while Ruth binding herself to Naomi, it doesn't mean that everything's guaranteed or it's going to be easy, but it does increase their chance of survival. But now when we consider our own need for other people, we have the privilege that we could probably survive a lonely existence, even if it takes a toll. So I was thinking about, why is it so important? Maybe especially in this dark and kind of lonely winter season, to be surrounded by people, whether it's our families that we're born into, the people we choose, friends from different walks of life, even your church people here. Well, it's not simply because they serve a purpose of survival for us. It's much more than that. I personally didn't need my family to come into town just because my brother-in-law brought the turkey or my sister made me a birthday cake. It's not really truly about what they did for me. It's because their very existence enriches my life, just being with them. They don't need to provide anything or do anything, just they themselves are a blessing. And I bet you would say that that is true for the people you surround yourself with, probably most of the time, as well. That they, as individuals, just existing, enrich your life, not because they're the best cooks or because they're especially handy. And you need to remember that the opposite is true as well for you. You just existing enriches other people's lives as well. Not because of what you do or how you perform, but just because God created you. Now, when I was on sabbatical, the last few weeks kind of became hard. I started to feel kind of lonely, especially on weekends. I attended another church in Marquette one time, and while I was there, I felt especially lonely because I just didn't know the people, and they were friendly, of course, but they just weren't my people, and I just didn't know them or feel connected to them. But it was important for me to personally feel that loneliness because it reminded me what it's like to be connected to a community. And it's not something, unfortunately, that happens on the first visit. It's something that takes time. It takes commitment. It takes getting to know the people who are around you, to be embedded in their lives, for you to care for them and them to care for you in exchange. And especially in a community where our example of caring and loving is rooted in God through Jesus. Now, the connection between Ruth and Naomi, it eventually goes far deeper than survival. They share their physical, emotional, spiritual difficulties of life, and that turns what can seem at first like despair into something different when someone steadfastly cares for you. They become bound together. They become bound together by this oath that Ruth makes. Naomi's people will be her people. Where she goes, Ruth will go. Naomi's God will be Ruth's God. And that last part is essential here. Naomi's God will be Ruth's God. It means that they're bound together by even more than just familial relationships or acquaintances. They are bound together by a God who sets an example for what it means to steadfastly care, to create community. And as we think about our own lives, we might ask the question, in the midst of this world, the one that often sets us apart from each other, that says you're fine alone, that is messy and broken at times, what even has God created us for? Did God create us because God needed to survive? No, our creation story doesn't say that. Instead, it's clear God created us because God longed for relationship. God said it wasn't good to be alone. God longed to be with us, and the rest of the Bible is truly a testament to that. For no matter how difficult we are, God still intercedes in our lives time and time again. God follows those foolish Israelites no matter where they go. God talks to the people through prophets, and God comes to us as Emmanuel, God with us in the form of Jesus. Now, in our Advent devotional, Hannah Garrity said something about loneliness and relationship that really struck me. She said, it's always through the aspirational and the altruistic that the reweaving begins. And here's what I hear her say. When we become the ones, when we become the ones who create holy spaces of community and connection, places that certainly from the outside view may seem aspirational, but when we create those spaces, we form and weave the connections of hope. Hope that there is no space in this community for the demons of loneliness to have a safe haven. Because here, trust me, if you allow it to be so, nobody gets out alone. And so I want you to remember this, that when you are feeling isolated or alone, even if that's happening to you now in the midst of this season, I want you to remember that that is not what God created you for. Let that be a little message that awakens you. That is not God's will for you in this messy and broken world. That's not what our tender, loving God, who came in the form of a child, willed for you or this world. For where there is loneliness, God creates relationship. And where there is fear, God creates hope. Amen.